Is that how you got your husband? You just shifted your way towards him and he was done? And he, you're just like,
imagine
Colin.
If it was that easy. Like, just shift, shift.
Your hands on your hip. A come hither look. Because those hips don't lie.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Bob podcast. I'm your host, Siva.
And I'm your co-host, Erica.
And today we're talking about Lucy Plays Cupid. This is the 15th episode of season one. It aired on January 21st, 1952. It's directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed December 13th, 1951. It's a fun episode to an extent. We'll talk about why there was a little bit of a pause there.
Yeah.
But now everything, if you look it up, it's like the spinster neighbor, which really is just supposed to be like the elderly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The elderly single neighbor. Miss Lewis thinks the eccentric grocer, Mr. Ritter, is the bee's knees, as she puts it, just the best. And she's got a bit of a crush on him, a bit. And so she asks Lucy to give him a letter that she's written and invite him to dinner. And so, of course, she doesn't sign the card and everyone gets, there's just a bunch of miscommunication and, you know, it all goes awry with this episode. And so this episode is actually based off of Valentine's Day from My Favorite Husband that aired February 11th, 1949. In that episode, Mr. Ritter was the butcher and Miss Lewis was played by Katie, the maid. And before we start, I do want to let you all know that the woman who played Mrs. Lewis played Iris Atterbury on My Favorite Husband, which is pretty cool. And she also, we're just going to say, is only like 4 years older than Lucy.
Yeah.
I think that's how old she was, 44 at the time.
Which is, she was maybe like 46 or 47.
Was not that much older.
No.
And I think you can tell, like, they tried to put her in frumpier clothes and stuff, but like, there's just moments where you can tell that she's really not that old. But
yeah.
Maybe we're jumping ahead of ourselves. So,
of course, we're speaking of the actress, Bea
Benaderet.
Yes. Bea Benaderet is, you know, she did have a history with Lucy, like you mentioned on My Favorite Husband, and tons of radio work before that. I mean, just an extensive career before and after her appearance on I Love Lucy.
Yes. And she was actually a front runner, like the who Lucy really wanted to cast for Ethel Mertz, but she was already playing in a different show in a pretty similar character as well. Like she would be doing basically the same type of thing in a TV show called The George Byrne and Grace Allen Show. Have you watched that?
I have not. On there. You know, what's interesting though, is much like when you hear of certain movies that another actor, you know, turned away or said no to, turn down. And you think, oh, I wonder what that movie would have looked like if that particular actor or actress had taken it. Our mind is so conformed to Vivian Vance being Ethel Mertz, so we can't imagine anybody else being in the role. I just wonder what she would be like, only because she was so great with voices, you know. I don't know if that would play a part with a lot of voiceover work she did. I just wonder what that would have looked like had it been her.
And also,
Ethel.
Of course, we don't see her in her, you know, she's all dressed up to be the spinster, right? Yeah. So like we don't see what she would have been if she was playing Vivian Vance.
Vivian,
I did write it down.
And William don't appear in this episode.
Right, not in this episode.
Mm-mm.
So I'm guessing probably still.
Well, see, this
baseball?
Is
baseball?
No,
is it baseball?
Well, it could have been, but also
in the story.
Season one, they were trying to do a lot of Lucy and Desi, Lucy and Ricky, to see how they play together with guest stars. They didn't realize how much of an integral part these two neighbors would be until maybe around season two or so. Then it's like, have them in every episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so it opens up with...
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I didn't write it down. She was 46 at the
46?
time. 46? She was playing this. So, I mean, not... 6 years older. And before we moved on, she she also played Betty Rubble in the Flintstones, yes. which I love,
mm-hmm.
and Pearl in the Beverly Hillbillies, which we have to do a spotlight on just because, and because she's on it. So this is, you know, we were talking about how I wanted to do like shows that our guest stars were on. This is the only episode of I Love Lucy that she's in.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we have a right to now do a spotlight on the Beverly Hillbillies, which is just such a fun show.
So stick around to 2024 and we'll be doing a spotlight.
She was also in Petticoat Junction, which mm-hmm. was also a very good show. But anyways, let's start.
With just her alone, I mean, if we're not going to leave her just yet, she was credited with over 1,000 combined radio and television appearances, which is crazy. They called her, they nicknamed her the Busy Bee, you know, B-E-A, Preston. Okay. So as we go on, it starts with Lucy's in the kitchen. I thought she was cutting potatoes, but no, it looks like she's squeezing orange juice. Yeah.
Does anyone ever do that anymore?
I used to do that as a kid. Yes. My dad had one of those machines and we would just go on and on with the oranges because I like pulp in my juice.
Okay.
So yeah, you're right. People don't do that.
I used to do it at work when people ordered like fresh smoothie juices and stuff.
Yeah.
And like we have one. I'm pretty sure we have like one of the little handheld ones
mm-hmm.
that just has the
It's just like a plastic one
that you just I'm pretty sure we have one of those somewhere downstairs, but like we don't do that. I just use store-bought juice.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. But
so much easier. But yeah, it that's is what good. She's doing.
And so she's it's making a lot of noise, and then Miss Lewis comes in. Real shy, real quiet, and then waits her turn to.
Does she just help herself to coffee, though? Or does Lucy say help?
No, she. Remember. I think she just helps herself to coffee.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then we never see her again. And so she said, is there something that you want to talk about? Because she seems like she's got something on her mind, but isn't quite comfortable with saying it just yet because she's very shy. And then of course she wants to talk about a man. But a man, she likes Mr. Ritter, the grocery man, because he's the bee's knees. We don't use those phrases enough anymore, Ziva.
No, we should start. We'll bring it back.
He's the cat's pajamas.
There you go.
That's another one he says.
So, and then of course Lucy's laughing and she's like, I'm not used to thinking of you in that way or whatever. And the best line is just because there's no snow on the roof doesn't mean there's no fire in the furnace. Or just because there is snow on the roof, I'm sorry, doesn't mean there's
if
you want to talk science, women reach that fire age later, so there might talk be it, snow Ziva. On the roof. Might be.
Oh, that's funny. And so she says, oh, here's this big romance going on and I had no idea. Of course she's like, no, it's just me having a just massive Mr.
Ritter.
crush.
She's been having this crush for 5 years. It's a long time to have a crush on someone.
A also, blowtorch
before
yeah
before we move on, what is around her waist? Do you notice this?
Mm.
And do you know what it is?
Miss Lewis or Lucy?
Miss Lewis. Yeah, there's these like silver things dangling off her waist. If you go to Paper Moon Loves Lucy, it's at the very top. There's that first picture. There's mm-hmm. like something.
Yes, it does. It looks like some sort of.
Was like, are they spoons? Like, are they pocket watches? Like,
it may be just keys or maybe. I don't know, because she also has this kind of leathery looking belt that's wrapped around her waist and that's holding papers, and that's where she's holding the letter that she has.
Letter.
Or perhaps it's just placed there so she can grab it for this particular scene. Who knows what that is? But
I don't know. It was weird to me. Also, we bring back the flying toaster.
Yes.
And maybe you have to catch it.
Just like hers.
Like baseball. Like.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a workout every morning.
It just flies in the air. Oh, man. And so she's, she's real shy telling her that she has this crush and she's trying to seduce him, you know, essentially. So she's trying to invite him over for dinner. And so she wants Lucy to hand Mr. Ritter, the grocery man, this letter. So he'll come by to see her and I guess eventually fall in love with her or something. So, you know, she says that she will, Lucy does. And then Ricky comes in and the cringe begins.
Yeah, I was going to say it already starts like right away. He already is like, okay, give me the note.
Yeah. So he says, you know, what's so that about
saying? Yeah. So he's already like, no, this is not okay. And I mean, we talk about this because we think that it's of the time. And then, so we'll have to remember that. I'm still going to kind of jump up on my soapbox yeah. a little bit, but we'll remember that it's of the time. And it's also based off of a show that was even done a few years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to that show, there are a few times where like,
cringe.
It's surprising. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, I thought I told you you were done thinking. Like there was a moment where she was superstitious. And basically he was like, I decided for you and we decided that I was right. And I was
like,
you can't change someone's thinking just because you've decided.
Because the man decided. And right. So here, you know, she's very excited about helping this sweet old lady, you know, find love. And so he's telling her that she cannot. He's, you know, against it. He's trying to get her married. And Ricky is you know, if he's made it to this age without getting married, why ruin it now? You know,
right. And then he kind of
tries to, you know, clean it up a bit,
plays it black. Yeah. He's like, I could have been clever enough, but I decided to play dumb. Ugh, okay.
Oh my God.
But so they had this like cute little talk and then she's like, all right, well, it's settled. Then I'll give him the note.
Right.
And he's like, no, it's settled.
You won't do any of the kind. And so he grabs her.
So she's acting like a child. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Which like, she was
she
not.
She wants to help. There are times where she does act like a child.
Yeah. This was not one of them.
This was not one of them. She's just wanting to help a friend. Like if one of my friends, I don't know that I would feel comfortable giving someone else a note that, you know, of a professed love, but like. She's just trying to be a friend. And
So then, of course, the cringe that I think we can all unanimously say is very cringy is when he puts her over his knee and starts to spank her. And he's not just spanking her, but I wrote it down here where he says, are you going to do what I say? It's, you know, it's cringy. It's uncomfortable to watch. She's crying, but not because not a natural cry, more of a like, stop it. Cry, you know, no tears or anything, more like a yell, like stop it, you know. And
But then
we've
got all that, and then in the next scene, and I know this is supposed to be funny, but she talks about how she can't sit down, which
that and she rubs her the side of her butt, because it means her butt's still hurting from spanking.
But if you can't actually, like, if you're feeling like you can't sit down, then we've talked about like how hard he was hitting you. I know, Erica, you and I were talking at the beginning before we started recording that there's some episodes where we kind of just forget we like dislike a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't on my list where I would automatically say I hate this one. You know, that's not what I'm saying. But there are definitely, you watch it and you go, oh yeah. Yeah, I've got problems with this
And there's more to it too. Later on, when we do the dinner with Mr. Ritter, there's more of it that's just more cringe upon
even
cringe.
Before the dinner. Oh yeah. Okay. So she goes down and she's going to tell Ms. Lewis, I'm sorry, you know, I can't.
Yeah. Can't help you.
I can't help you do what you want. And of course, Ms. Lewis is just being cute and she's you know, I was gonna wear my good dress, but it's in the lock box and the lock.
She has elderberry wine that she's had since she was 21 years old.
21, that must have a tang by now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so. The line where she holds up the candles and she's like, they say they, you know,
takes off five, so it makes you look younger. Yeah,
you know, she's like, well, it could be a woman of 50 again. Lucy goes easily. And I think that's just funny because she wasn't even,
she wasn't even near 50. So she's like, oh, you're sweet. You're awfully sweet.
But anyways, okay. So Mr. Ritter comes in and
to deliver the groceries.
Oh, before we move on the show, this is kind of a deep dive. It's not really, but for any of our younger listeners and really people that, because this isn't even something that normally happens now. I mean, nowadays we've got, you know, DoorDash and stuff, mm-hmm. but before, you know, they would have grocery people. They'd have one store that would
provide groceries
for the local community, mm-hmm. basically just one store that would have enough. And so you would have to call up, which is like an introvert's nightmare because I hate calling people. I do. It's something I really dislike. You would call up, you tell the grocer what you want, and then they would deliver mm-hmm. once or twice a week. You know, Miss Lewis says that she is just a bag of groceries twice a week. So you see there's more than once a week is possible. And then you just pay them when they come and drop off the groceries. And so that is how groceries used to work. And that, you know, so you could go into the store or they just deliver, which was really easily.
Kind of like the milkman.
Deliveries kind of stopped, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like more of a, and now deliveries are kind of coming.
Now it's just natural again.
Circle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, right? You're because right. You're right.
Definitely with the COVID, you know, we had deliveries of food, like fast foods and things like that. Mm-hmm. But now you even have the option to get delivered from your grocery store.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
And so I feel like it's kind of come full circle, except now people have so many options of places, mm-hmm. right, to go to eat from where, or to order from. Whereas at that time, like we said, it'd just be about one local grocery store.
And so Mr. Ritter is played by Edward Everett Horton, who had a very extensive career before even being on I Love Lucy. And if you notice, as soon as he walked in, the audience kind of did an applause for him, mm-hmm. which not very many guest stars get. And so like Bill Frawley, he got his start in vaudeville as well and made his Broadway debut in 1910. And started doing films in 1922, eventually appearing in three movies with Lucille Ball, including 1935's Top Hat. I love Top Hat. That's such a great movie. And he made his small screen debut in 1949, playing Sheridan Whiteside in a TV version of Broadway's The Man Who Came to Dinner. So he had quite a bit of movies under his belt before even making that appearance, which is why at the end of the episode, you know, they just say Benaderet was Miss Lewis, but they do like a special thanks to to Edward Everett Horton for his appearance, you know. So it was like we'd like to give a special thanks to Mr. Edward Everett Horton for appearing with us tonight, which is a very odd way of just saying who the actor was. Just stands out.
Yeah. And so if we think about that, I mean, I feel like there's a Miss Lewis B also was well known, but she was more well known for radio.
Yes.
And voice. So it wasn't, her face wasn't as well known, mm-hmm. I guess. So it was a different type of shout out. Like he had a bigger shout out because he was more well known in the
entertainment business, TV, the movies.
And entertainment. Yeah. Yes. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Okay. So he walks in, we've got him walking in and he drops off the groceries. And you can kind of see Lucy struggling, right, to decide if she's going to. And as he's walking away, she finally says, okay, I have to tell you something. This is where I start having a problem, right? Because
it's so uncomfortable.
Someone thinks that, or like thinks he's really nice or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. I had it written down. and all of a sudden you see it, like it clicks. And he's like, oh,
yeah.
And he's like, honor, you know? And so like, they have this whole conversation. She's trying to explain, like, it's not me, it's Miss Lewis, and gives him the letter. And of course it just says from your secret admirer, secret lover.
One thing about Lucy Ricardo, she makes men fall in love very fast, just like Jean Valjean Raymond. And now we have Mr. Ritter just madly in love with just over a day.
The time of like, the sign of the times. Like, you know, you just see a woman, you're like, boom, okay, married.
I must love her.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you know, she's, you'd think she could just spit it out and just say, you know, but of course it wouldn't make for a funny episode, you know? And so he's convinced that Lucy wants him to come over to dinner for her and him to have a date, even though she's married and he knows that, but still not a big deal. He's still going to show up.
But she does say that it was Miss Lewis. Like it was her, like she says this, she's like, no,
you don't have to play coy with me.
Right. And so he's just not listening.
He's not listening.
That moment where he's like leaning up against, that is such a dominant move.
Yes. You know, there's
I think it's really cute.
No, it's not. There's a still that I saw on the website that on Paper Moon that the look on her face is very like, you know, scared or get away from me or, you know, hashtag me too. But he's right. Just I mean, over her.
We're not even trying to be extra right now. Like, I feel uncomfortable if there is not a way for me to get away. Mm-hmm. So like if a man's leaning up against, that's just not. So you either have to push the man away or you have to stand there and just be okay with it. And that is right. At the point where she's at, you know, and that just bothers me. Like that's such a dominant move. And so, and he is so quick.
And like you said, like,
all right,
the sign of the times allows for that to happen. Mm-hmm. Now I know that can happen at any time, any generation, but I'm saying more so then she wasn't about to, you know, kick him, you know, in the private parts and try to run away. She's just trying to be like, it's still a lady, but at the same time, you know, say you have it all wrong. So it's nice to kind of go over this with 2021 eyes to see what was accepted and what was considered funny back then.
You know? Right. And I don't think either one of us are really, we're not bashing the show because at that time it wasn't fine, but it was just what it was.
Yeah.
So we're not saying, we're just pointing out that looking through our 2021 lenses, we see problems.
It's uncomfortable. So it's really uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yes. So that whole scene ends, right? And you see Lucy's upstairs now and Miss Lewis comes back. She's been walking around. She ran around the track 5 times.
She said she was hysterical when she found out that, you know, he misunderstood and took her for the date. She's just been running in circles. What?
In my favorite husband episode, there's actually, they're both redheads, the maid and her. And so it's signed, you know, your favorite redhead or something like, not my favorite, but you know, something with the red hair. And so he says,
that's the confusion.
Yeah, exactly. but anyways, just so Lucy's like, all right, you have to just not get him to come up because apparently he is okay with Ricky being there. And wants to profess their love and say that they should get divorced.
Yeah. He's okay with the fact that she's fully married and that he can't wait to come up and tell Ricky about their newfound love. And that way they can quickly get a divorce. What?
Right. Down. Don't let him get up the stairs, right? You just have to flirt with him.
Yeah.
And get him to come into your
now. Here's where the flirting comes in. Flirting teachings come in.
I love this. She does. She looks like she's struggling a lot, right?
Although, you know, for someone who's only 46, she sure did play like a 70-something-year-old or 80-something-year-old lady. So Lucy's trying to teach her because, of course, the illusion is that Lucy's like this young, girl who's, you know, very well put together to do she can still do the flirty thing and get away with it where she's like, oh yes, that's all fine for you, but I'm a little rusty, you know. I have a rusty transmitter. And so she tells her how to shift her hips. Now this is Such a 50s thing way of flirting. I mean, do we flirt like that hips now? Is that how you got your husband? You just shifted your way towards him and he was done? And
you're just like, imagine Colin, if it was that easy. Like, just shift.
Your hands on your butter. Hip. A come hither look. Didn't know what hit him. It was your hips, apparently. Because those hips don't lie. Sorry. No. So she's trying to tell her to shift her hips. She can't do it because old. And so she's.
She tries the come hither look, right?
Yeah. Which is like batting your lashes.
And she looks like she's having
a stroke. I'm like, are you okay? What's the matter? Are you all right? That was my come hither look.
Come hither look.
Oh no.
And so then Lucy's like, well, then she gets a call from Ricky.
Conveniently.
And Ricky's like, yeah, conveniently saying that he can't come.
Yeah.
And did you like how he just pulled the cigarette out of the
I mean,
there was even a cigarette there, and
the
then
product placement was strong in the first season of I Love Lucy, because Philip Morris was front and center, and during Ricky's payphone call, you know, presumably from like a drugstore or something, he stands next to
boy, right?
Yeah, the Johnny the bellhop. It was Johnny the bellhop, and yeah, you're right. This random cutout on the wall is holding a real cigarette that he just grabs.
He just pulls and starts smoking.
He starts smoking it.
Like, who touched that?
So, you're
okay with just picking that up?
Now, if I'm mistaken, or in the syndicated version on television, they cut out a piece of that marketing part.
See, they did start doing that. Mm-hmm. There was that one episode we talked about earlier where they cut out.
Oh yes, when they divide the rooms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they could have. I'm not entirely sure if they did or not. So she gets the call and she's like, you know what? That's perfect.
Yeah, he's not coming home. I'll stay. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, oh, whiny. She's like, you can't. He's mine. I'm like,
mine. A little possessive there, Miss Lewis.
Yeah, Miss Lewis. Okay, so.
Now, here's the thing. I know if I know my Ziva, I know where she, you know, just threw the whole phone away as she was writing notes is when she's, you know, tell me a little about Mr. Ritter, because I want to essentially turn him off. So that way he's attracted to you. And, you know, there's no way he'd want me. So, of course, Miss Lewis gives the description of how demanding this Mr. Ritter is. I still have yet to see any attractive traits that she sees in this man.
Right.
He can't stand children. He likes a tidy appearance. He likes immaculate housekeeping and good cooking. Well, and so of course, wow. I mean, and then he walks in looking less than put together. So he's one to demand all these things.
Have your own thoughts and ideas. But you see, you know, like there's these Tinder fails and things like that, where you see basically people posting like that, where like, you must be a good cook. You must be over 5'9". You must be under this weight. Mm-hmm. I was like, is that, that's what matters to you then? Like, I don't know.
It's the demand of it all. See, you can't help. Like you just mentioned this with Tinder. I'm assuming that you put down information and you're hoping that whoever looks at it matches those things. But I mean, you can put preferences, you know, I'd rather have someone taller than me if possible, you know, or things like that. But if it comes off as demanding, you shouldn't be able to kind of demand what your heart or your mind is going to want. And so this here, when she's saying all these things about him, again, sign of the times. So it's something that would not go very well today. I've yet to find what she is so in love with now, you know.
I mean, she's older, so maybe she's okay with the no children and and she's already a tidy person, so maybe she's like, oh, I fit those boxes anyways.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know if I told you this, but I had a man when I was doing the whole like online dating thing that wanted me to quit college and be a stay-at-home mom for him. I was like, first of all, we just started talking, so like I have children now in this scenario. And second of all, I'm not putting my life on hold to like raise your children. I mean, they would have been our children, but you know, like,
well, the fact at that, that point it's,
it would
that,
be his yeah. children at right, his right. house, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I was like, let me just block.
Yeah. No. But the fact that you were only on the online dating part of it. I mean, you're not even like living together. You're not, you know.
Right. We were just starting to talk.
And all like, okay, this is the thing. He's already need. Telling you what he yeah. So I mean yeah. it has to be a good match. Like you can't have one a woman who's totally independent and will not be a stay-at-home mom whatsoever. And then there's some women who love that. And I think that's very beneficial to children for the most part. And, but you both have to be obviously on the same right. page with that, because otherwise you'll be miserable and you'll end up resenting the other person eventually.
Right. So, exactly. It has to be something from like your, I was a stay-at-home mom for a while, and I even am just a part-time mm-hmm. working, and I stay most of the time at home, and I really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that I decided.
You chose that.
Not
yeah.
something that Colin was like, you're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, okay. So she tells her all these things, and Lucy's like, all right, fine.
I'll do the opposite of all those things.
The exact opposite. I do want to point out that she didn't go as far out as she usually does. Like the only messy part is the table.
Yeah. I think they got a little right? more creative as the seasons went by. Cause this is still season one. So
right,
all they like, had was like newspapers.
Everything else is still kind of immaculate, right? Like
yeah,
the books are still nicely stacked in the back. Like
even her messy look, clean. Quote unquote, messy look
clean
was not very messy. Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, but do better, Lucy. This is why she's like, this is why Mr. Ritter's like, oh, it's fine. It's
yeah,
okay.
It's not, that's like, not that
I'll
bad.
I'll do this. So anyways, the appetizer is tomato juice.
Or as Lucille Ball calls it, tomato juice.
Tomato juice.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sure these are probably like prop cans, but like, I would be so worried to drink from a can like that with the lid still up.
Just, you know, just cuts. Oh no. No.
Yeah. Lips and mouth. And like I said, I'm sure it was a prop can, so they wouldn't have cut anything. Mm-hmm. But and I do like how she just kind of starts throwing things.
So she's made like this you know, date from hell. So eventually he'll just not like any of it and just, you know, run into the waiting arms of Miss Lewis. But that's
it doesn't happen.
It does not happen. You know, she tries to do well, she cooks the way I cook. If I'm being real, her fake cooking is my real cooking. I'm just going to put that out there. So it's a wonder I'm married. I don't know. And so
Colin does most of the cooking for us.
There you go. See, it's, you know, and he's like, it's fine. You don't have to do the cooking. I'll do the cooking, because he's just so enamored with this young lady that he's fallen in love with, that he doesn't care that she's not keeping a nice tidy house or a good appearance or the cooking. But of course we hit the part that he can't stand the most, children.
Oh, wait, before we get there, I wanted to ask, what do you think his soup is? Is it like cornstarch or honey?
I don't know,
it's
but
thick, right?
Yeah. Like, and also I think she pours Tabasco sauce in it and he's yeah, just on fire.
Yeah. Also, they made a prop mistake, I guess, that so they have a product of California.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, I know that normally, like nowadays, that'd be fine because you see a lot of overlap, but at the time they weren't shipping. You know,
yeah, and you're supposed to be California placed in New York.
In New York. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as bad as the Paris last one, though.
Where they that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, California wine in a French cafe. You know. Also, yeah. I did want to ask, so you know that spray bottle she uses to spray the flaming rock hard
steak.
Mm-hmm. Was that a real thing? Like, did people have those in their households, or was it just like a gag thing?
Was it a spray? Was it spraying water, or was it like a fire extinguisher type thing?
No, it was water. It's like that one that they used where she's
for the clown. Yes.
Over the ocean,
right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
And for women are wonderful.
Oh, that's right. Fabulous.
Fabulous. Yeah.
I don't know. It looks very prop-ish, you know, like it's a prop. I don't know why you would have one in your home. I mean, I don't know what it's used for other than for
just spraying people.
People in faces and steaks. But really, I don't know what you would call that, because it's not really just a spray bottle. It's very
it's forceful.
It's much more violent than your average spray. So I don't know what you would use that for other than perhaps rinsing off somewhere in the garden, but that would still be a little too aggressive for flowers and stuff. I don't know.
Okay. So we get to the children. You were talking about the children that he really disliked.
My favorite, because they just keep coming out. First she says, you know, keep quiet because you'll wake the children. And the way he describes his children, he really can't stand children.
Lollipop, sticky fingered, stealing kids. Yeah. Same. And so they count, 25 he counts?
Yeah.
Because it does that like crossfade.
Right.
You can tell time's
he's
going
still,
on.
He's still counting. And she says there's still six that are missing. And what I love that, you know, as these children are, you know, coming out of the bedroom, there's one dressed like a little Ricky Ricardo with a conga drum. Yes. What? this reminds everybody watching Lucy is when she does the Cuban childhood that she's trying to recreate, and all these kids come out of nowhere.
So in this episode, there's 10. There's not 25. There's 10 uncredited kids that come through that. So the kids come and he's like, you know what? It's okay. She thinks this will really drive him away. Nope.
No, 25 kids is not going to do it.
Apparently not.
He's still in love.
Oh, and so this is when we cut back down to Ricky, right? Mm-hmm. He's coming in and Miss Lewis tries to keep him
from going up to the apartment
upstairs by you know.
Come hither, look.
She's like, you're the first man I've flirted with and I like it.
Jeez.
She says he can't go upstairs until Mr. Ritter's gone. And of course, Ricky finds this hilarious. And I start to find this problematic again. Not until he gets upstairs. But he finds it hilarious and he's going to go upstairs. And Mr. Ritter's going to say something like, you know, we're in love. Oh, wait. He's like, what's new? I love this.
Because Mr. Ritter's trying to hug her.
Embrace her. And they kind of like freeze, right? And he just comes in and says, what's new? And Lisa's like, what's new?
She's in the arms of another man and he's asking her what's new. And so, you know, Mr. Bitter is now speaking for both of them, saying that they're in love and he has to accept her. And so Ricky says, you can't expect me to keep you all to myself. And you know, I pass her on to you and you pass her into waiting arms.
Say something.
Yes.
This is where I have a problem.
I know,
like,
you do.
I know, again, it's just supposed to be funny. But I'm like, oh, she's not a possession.
Just passing her
off. Away. You know, like I give you permission to
marry my wife.
And yeah. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Also fight for your wife, man.
Yeah. No, like,
I know that
he's resigned.
He knows, right?
Right.
He knows. So he's playing
along.
A part, and you'd hope and think that he'd probably, if he didn't know, he would come in and be like, yo, you know, that's my wife.
Yeah.
But obviously.
So, yeah. He's not.
He goes to the back. He's like, I'm going to go pack, you know? And so he leaves all dramatic, you know, with his arm up. Going to pack. And Mr. Ritter starts chasing Lucy. Literally chasing her.
Yeah, more cringe. Yeah.
Yeah, but let's talk about cringe, because Lucy runs away and Miss Lewis comes in and starts chasing him in the exact same way. And I just find that so funny. Like, he even hides behind the door like Lucy did. And just so funny. And then she does her come hither look again. And he kind of is like,
I like this. Now, see, here's the thing with Mr. Ritter. He's very fickle in the way he falls in love, because just not less than 2 seconds before, he was crazy about Lucy. And so just a little, or Miss Lewis is just that.
Maybe she's just that good. And also maybe he was like, oh, a woman that wants me to.
Yeah.
Come hither.
Come hither.
Do you think they stayed together with how quickly, you know, they
go off together into the sunset. Off
together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they lived happily ever after. We don't see either one of them again. So I think we can, in our minds, just imagine that.
Yeah.
And then,
Yeah.
So that's basically the end. They leave together and that's the end of the show. Or the show. That's it.
That's it. It's over. Thanks for listening to Having a Ball. It's been a great run. I was looking up information. I know we mentioned how much they gave credit to Edward Everett Horton just for his appearance. But as I was looking up information on him, there was even a street in LA named after him. I had no idea. I was looking at this. This is actually in the Valley. I'm not sure.
What a name, by the way.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
Edward Everett Horton.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was 5500 Edward Everett Horton Lane. I mean, that's a mouthful. But yeah, it's interesting how much more he was praised than Bernadette was, or Bernadette was. Just for making his appearance. But yeah, this one was a little cringe. You know, they get better with the seasons, because even though there was a lot of Ricky's display of machismoism and just his aggressive and possessiveness and all of that, it kind of turns, in some seasons where Lucy is the more aggressive one.
Overall, how do you feel about this episode?
I don't like it. I don't like it. And I think from of course, Lucy does a heck of a job, because she does. But I'm sure if they could go back, they would not have written that. Again, they were playing around with the idea of just having them two. We're missing the other two to make it much more comfortable, to give more lines and much more comedy skits to Vivian and William Frawley. But it's up there with some of the cringe.
Yeah. And episodes. I'm going to go back again to that leading thing, because if you look at it, that's like a common depiction of like love. So you see that, like, I know I've seen it in like Glee, mm-hmm. and High School Musical, and all those like romance comedy where the big burly man or the man in charge kind of like leans up against the locker, and it's supposed to be this like cute.
Yeah.
Like, but it's very much like, I'm over you. I'm,
yes.
That, you know?
Yes. Yes.
I'm done. But yeah. I'm just saying that you still see that move a lot.
Yeah.
I've had that move used on me.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. In high school.
Okay.
So it was a while ago, but like, yeah. Still.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, can I punch you in the gut? No.
Yeah. It's a show of strength from them, from the bigger man or boy or whoever that's in front of you. This is like the movie Grease. You kind of mentioned that, Glee does something like this, but yeah, it's very much to show possession from the side of the man, and
the woman
basically never looks happy about
being
it.
Okay, right? Like, but the woman's supposed to be like, yeah, this is all right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically them showing their dominance, and the woman being like, okay,
yeah. And today, cool.
I'm
of course,
okay with that.
You would not cross the line of not giving the woman that space, you know, because it is your space. And so when someone, you know, falls over you that way, it can be very intimidating. And I think that's the point of it, I think.
But guys, if you've had this happen to you and you really like it and you're playing the other, not playing, but you enjoy that, let us know. Like, not let us know why you like, but like,
yeah,
tell us what you think about it. If you agree with us or if you don't, if you're like, no, that's really romantic and I think a man should do that.
Well, you know, everything is really the way that you want to see it, because if you look at romantic comedies, right? Romantic comedies are based on a man chasing a woman until eventually he gets her, right? And so he follows her at work, he follows her to the, you know, this Docker. And that, and there he is, and it's supposed to be,
and there's that romantic. Whole like, right, and there's that whole the woman's just playing hard to get,
or right,
like if you ask enough they'll say yes,
and at the end it's like right. You finally wore her down, and yeah. And so but in reality, if you're not interested in this person and they show up again at your job or at your home or whatever,
calling the popo,
it's not romantic at all. It's quite creepy. So yeah, it's all, you know, perception for each person. But again, this was, you know, that's why we love rewatching and revisiting these episodes, because they strike conversations that perhaps we never even thought of when we were kids watching this, because
right, we're just like,
doesn't oh, come near mind. It's funny. Look yeah. How funny he's chasing funny. Her around. Wait a minute. And
And I do think they play a good, you know, and like I said, I don't hate this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those ones where there are problems for me, but there's a balance in this one. And I think that's why I don't hate it.
Yeah.
Because there's enough things that I like about it. And there's, you know, that whole meal. I really like that. The whole,
yeah,
you
know, the bad meal
sauce and the meal. And she comes out with the burning steaks. I mean, we didn't talk about it a whole lot, but the fact that she just douses the whole table in water. Like, I love that.
And then just throws the food at him.
Sit down and eat. Like,
that's good. So, now that's funny. That's the comedy that we come for. But
we come for.
Yeah.
So let us know, guys, how you feel about this episode.
Yeah.
And what you liked and disliked about it. If you also share our feelings about maybe not liking this one as much as some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So find us everywhere. We are on all your streaming services. We're on havingaballpod@gmail.com. If you want to send us an email or any recommendations or corrections or anything, or just to say hi, we get some of those too. And we're on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Having a Ball Podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.